There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain girl I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found her yet. She's the big affair I cannot forget. Only girl I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add my initial to her monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb?
Michael Feinstein began playing piano by ear when he was only 5. After high school, he worked in piano bars for 2 years before being introduced to Ira Gershwin, and for the next 6 years worked as Gershwin's assistant. Michael then went on to forge a career that includes multi-platinum recordings, 200-plus live performances a year, 2 Emmy and 5 Grammy nominations, conductor of the Pasadena Pops, nightclub owner, and that's just half of it, folks. Perhaps his greatest recognition, though, is as ambassador of the Great American Songbook. Michael Feinstein performs tonight at the Kauffman Center at 7:30, and it's an absolute honor to welcome him here to Up to Date. And Michael, so good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be with you, Steve.
Well, your love of classic American popular music has been well documented through the PBS series Michael Feinstein's American Songbook. Besides great conversations with composers and performers, it showed the lengths you'll go to just to find and preserve the sheet music and the tapes and the records of those early days of our popular music. What have been some of the most memorable finds that you've stumbled across along the way?
It's amazing what will turn up in someone's basement or someone's garage.
Yes.
It's extraordinary.
Yes.
I'd say the most amazing find that I've made recently was last June when I discovered 3 original manuscripts in the hand of Jerome Kern, who, of course, created Showboat and classics like Old Man River and The Way You Look Tonight. These were 3 manuscripts from 1938.
And you found them where?
In a garage in Hollywood, California, that had been obtained by a man who got them from a college that had gotten them from RKO Studios when they closed in 1958. And there they were. They were about to be thrown away. And I was going through boxes, and there they were.
And you discovered them yourself?
Yes. I recognized the hand of Kern. Sent examples of them to the Library of Congress, and they said they were the finest examples they have ever seen of a Kern manuscript.
What was that like for you when you're stumbling through a box like that and you come across a discovery that electrifying?
It's exciting, of course, and then there's the thought of what else could be here? Is it all here? What condition? There's a lot of thoughts that come flashing because this was a collection that came from a movie studio, and Jerome Kern also wrote The Way You Look Tonight for that studio, and I was hoping to find other things, but I didn't. So you just it's always interesting to me to think about what survives and what doesn't and how something can turn up 50 or 60 years later.
How do people get a hold of you when they think they might have something? Is there a central depository now where people sort of turn up to get in touch with you?
Certainly people can always reach me through my website, michaelbuble.com.
Yeah.
It's a joke. michaelfeinstein.com.
Yeah.
People contact me through Twitter and Facebook, whatever. There's so many different ways. And it's fascinating the number of things that people have generously donated to the organization we have. That's the Great American Songbook Foundation. So it's a lovely thing.
You've even made a stop here in town at the Marr Sound Archives over at UMKC, and you've had a tour with KCUR's Chuck Haddix. Will you have time for a visit while you're here this time around, or what are you planning?
I don't have time this time, and it drives me crazy.
It's an amazing place.
Oh, I had the best time there, and of course it's thwarting because there are thousands and thousands of things that I would like to listen to and just do research on, not only the recordings but the ephemera and the photographs. And Chuck Haddix is one of the most extraordinary people. He's just filled with enthusiasm and joy and knowledge about his work.
Well, you've come across all this stuff over the years. Where do you store it?
That's the big problem.
I can imagine.
Yeah. In Carmel, Indiana, where the Great American Songbook Foundation is headquartered, we have a lot of material there. But I have things in New York, including fragile 16-inch glass discs that in order to transport them is extraordinarily expensive. And then in California, I have a huge office space that's filled to the brim with music, plus things in my house. And Andy Williams' son just gave me 150 boxes of his entire music library.
No kidding.
With the understanding that I would make it available to people to keep it alive. That's the whole point.
And how are you going to do that?
Well, right now I'm putting together a whole bunch of Christmas music that Andy used to perform that is going to be done by an orchestra in December. So I'm making it available for people who want to play it.
Oh, that's neat. You know, and part of the answer to the storage question was helped along in 2011 through the opening of the Palladium Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel, Indiana. You just mentioned it, where you serve as artistic director. What's included at the Palladium, and how did your association, you know, with that come about?
The mayor of Carmel, Indiana, approached me about moving my headquarters of the Great American Songbook Foundation there. And I said, well, why would I want to come there? Sell me, because I had offers from Las Vegas and L.A. and different places.
Yeah.
But this is an incredible city that's very forward-thinking, that wanted to fund my organization, making it possible for us to have a kickstart, and installed us in headquarters of their new concert hall, the Palladium, in the upstairs part of it. So we have beautiful offices, we have a staff, we have storage space, and a community that supports the arts.
Carmel, Indiana is where? Put it on the map for me.
It's contiguous to Indianapolis. That's a realty term.
Yeah.
This road is contiguous.
Yeah.
And it is it's a beautiful city that is about 80,000 people, and it was named by Money Magazine the number one most livable city in the United States 2 years ago.
So. And they wanted you there.
Yes, because they heavily support the arts, and they also wanted to give the venue, the Palladium, a face. They wanted to give it an identity so it would be distinguished from other performing arts centers.
Is that the place where, you know, the items, all these things will eventually be housed permanently, even after you've sung your last song?
We do have a temporary exhibition space in the Palladium itself, in our initiative foundation offices, but we are in the process of raising money to build a museum there, because there is no Great American Songbook Museum. Here in Kansas City, there's a great emphasis on the music history of this city, and there's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, there's Country Music Hall of Fame, but there's not a single edifice that exists for the Great American Songbook, and Carmel, Indiana is centrally located, and I like that because it's music about the entire nation. It's not about New York or L.A. It's about the heritage, musical heritage of our country, as all this music is.
We're visiting with Michael Feinstein. You know, Kansas City, Michael, has something else. Her name is Marilyn May.
Oh, well,
still
I've
performing.
Sung with Marilyn many times. She's going to we're going to be doing a show together in Indiana next season
the
Palladium.
No kidding.
Oh, I adore her.
She is a national treasure. That woman is still going strong, and she comes in here and just blows the place up.
The thing about Marilyn is that she is undiminished. You don't say she's great for her age. She's just great.
That's right. And the New York Times tells us that every time she performs out there. Yeah.
She's spectacular. And she says, honey, when are we going to do another show together? Yeah, I'm getting old. Hurry up.
You know, so. But you don't get the sense that the age thing is really an issue for her. At least I don't see it when I'm around her.
She's never stopped. And I find that people who continue to do what they do stay in fighting shape. There was a great jazz pianist whom I adored named Paige Cavanaugh. Hmm. I had his records from 1943, and 60 years later, he was playing undiminished because he played nightclubs and he never stopped. Marilyn never stopped. And she always stretches herself to learn new material every single show.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, she is unbelievable. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, your dedication to preserving the American popular song continues to grow through your Great American Songbook Foundation and something called the Feinstein Initiative, which includes a high school vocal competition. You've got the finals for that coming up later this month, and I'm wondering, how much interest is there among young people still today for this style of music?
There's a lot of interest, and in some ways there's more interest because now with the internet, they can discover the music. When I was growing up, it was impossible to find a record.
You had to stumble across it somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, try and find a record of Ethel Waters or see what Fats Waller, find a video of Fats Waller. It was impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, you just couldn't find it.
Yeah.
I'd spend hours and days and months trying to find a record by mail or phone calls. And now everything is on the internet, for better or for worse, but mainly for better.
Yeah.
And so young kids, if they're exposed to it, if they're led to it, then they can go on the internet and they can discover all this music. And so we have thousands of applicants from all over the country that come that want to be participants in this this competition, because the American Idol is exclusionary because it's about pop music. But what about all these other kids that love all this other kinds of music? They are out there, and there's a lot of them.
Well, that speaks pretty well for the future, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like they're still lighting it up.
It does. And I find the other thing that happens is that as people grow a little bit older, their musical tastes become more sophisticated, and they stop listening to the pop stuff on the radio, or their horizons expand. And they'll discover jazz. They'll discover classic American pop songs because of the lyrics, because of the emotions expressed in them. And it's just different from what we have today, and nothing has ever replaced it.
That competition's going to be where?
It's going to be in Carmel at the Palladium. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact date. I think it's July 24th or 25th.
And you get how many finalists for something like that?
We have 12 finalists out of the thousands of applicants. Then we have regionals. And then from the regionals, we pick the 12 finalists. And this year's, well, she's going to be out leaving her office, if you will, when she's replaced in July. But Julia Goodwin, who was the winner of last year's competition, just appeared on America's Got Talent and got a standing ovation from those four judges. She's just turned 16. And this is a girl with formidable talent who happens to love the Great American Songbook, among other kinds of music as well.
And there's a whole lot more going on here with this than just a competition, right? There are workshops, the whole thing.
Yes. We have Mark Cherry, who wrote and created Desperate Housewives, is going to come, and who also has a background in musical theater and music, is going to give workshops with the kids about auditioning, about how to put a song over. We do master classes in lyric interpretation and in teaching how to communicate a song, because it's much more than what you learn in music school. It's a performance, and it's being able to impart the emotion and the feeling in a way that people feel like you're speaking to them.
How do you teach something like that? Isn't that one of those things, either you got it or you don't?
That is absolutely true. And usually with the kids we have there, the finalists, they're very teachable because they have the instincts and they just haven't been exposed to certain aspects of performance because they haven't had the experience. I was lucky because, I guess you could call it lucky, for years I played 5 hours a night in piano bars, and that's where I learned how to program a list of songs, what to open a set with, what should come next, when should to be a comedy song, what do I say to the audience, and how to keep their attention when they're drinking or they're trying to pick up each other.
Yeah.
So it was the most incredible experience. It taught me almost everything I know.
Michael Feinstein performs tonight at the Kauffman Center at 7:30. To find out more or to purchase tickets, just follow the link on the up-to-date webpage, kcur.org. Michael, what a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
A lot of folks would like to hear you tonight. Let's go out with some Michael Feinstein.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything starting to hum. Still it's a real...
Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske. On Monday's show, Milton Wolf, who's challenging Senator Pat Roberts, will join us. Plus, we'll have a preview of Harvard Public Media's Farm Bill coverage. We had help this week from KCUR's Linda Scher, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Hannah Copeland, and Scott Ross. Our senior producer is Steven Steigman. Have a great weekend, all. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.
Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see.